coming at you live from the heart of Lincoln, America. This is Old School, sponsored by the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese, Nebraska Football Hall of Famer Jay Foreman and Austin Orman. Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
What up? We're back, 5 o'clock hour. Jay Foreman, my man Harrison, the better of the two, Mr. Nick. This is Old School coming at you live, 1040 O Street, as we are about to succumb to the darkness of the winter. But we are brought to you by the Mercado Certified Piedmontese Special Ingredients at Butcher Shop, 84th and Havelock, 30th and Yankee Hill, 85th and Audermatt / Old Cheney, 168th and Maple. We are talking all things Huskers, all things college football. Obviously, the news of the last, what, month? Was Lane Kiffin leaving Ole Miss after a historic season for them, 11-1, a sure lock into the college football playoffs and probably the host, which is probably the most important thing, host the first round game down there in Oxford, decided to leave there for LSU, which then the funny part was he was supposed to announce it Saturday morning after a 9 o'clock, which would 8 o'clock Central Time team meeting. That got postponed. And then it obviously came out eventually on Sunday.
Thanks, what Nico Iamaleva did with Tennessee, pretty light work.
Oh, leaving and going to...
Yeah, this stuff happens all the time. Like, for as much slack that we give players for their decisions, these coaches are out of control sometimes.
These coaches have been doing that forever.
Well, that's just it. They always get away with it. There's no repercussions, but, like, man.
Well, here's the thing. Back when there wasn't a transfer portal, you know, coaches, and there was one signing period.
Yeah, you were locked in with that coach. You had no way out if he left.
Yeah, what happened was, what used to happen was a coach would probably inform the head coach or whatever that he was leaving. I'm talking about assistant coach. And then he would recruit you to said school and you would sign. And then the next day you'd be like, oh, Jay Foreman has just went to Kentucky. He's the D coordinator or whatever.
Now, not answering my phone either. I'm calling.
What do you mean?
It's just cold, too. They're not going to talk to you. They're not going to let you know.
They're not allowed. Yeah, they aren't. Yeah,
no, well, like you might text them like, hey, is this? You're not.
Well, it doesn't matter. You already signed. You can't get out of the letter, the letter of intent. Now they change some of the rules and coaches get fired. Now they have a transfer portal. Now the players are just replicating what the coaches have always done. So, you know, Lane, you know, it's a great season for them. He decided to make the best decision for him. No matter what he says, he did it for himself. He certainly didn't do it for his family.
Yeah.
But you know what? Sometimes that you gotta, if you feel like this is a once in a lifetime opportunity, you know, you gotta go take it. Now you gotta deal with the ramifications. You're not, if it was me, there's no way I would ask the coach, because there's no way that I would expect a team in my conference to let me coach. Now, if you're going out to Big Ten, to SEC or vice versa, maybe so, but
I think it's one where you ask, knowing the answer.
I wouldn't even ask. I would give you the respect and not disrespect you by asking. But because I don't want to know that you'd be dumb enough to let me do it. I want to at least be able to say, all right, man, that dude's pretty savvy, so I ain't going to even disrespect him by asking. But
has Ole Miss got a shot without him?
They always got a shot. I think Pete's a good coach. Pete Golden's a good coach, a good coordinator. It's his first time, so there's going to be the biggest thing adjustment for him is divvying up defensive coordinator responsibilities, game day responsibilities, situational football, when to, you know, burn a timeout, when not. It's a totally different.
But you know, I know Lane's now, just going to be rooting for him. It's just the crazy part.
Thank you.
Because he's going to get a fat check.
Yeah.
The further they make it, Lane Kiffin's just going to be.
Yeah.
He won.
Yeah.
But in every capacity outside of what
he's going to get that from LSU, media. Right?
What's that?
He's getting that from LSU.
It would be, yeah.
Yeah.
They would pay him.
It's just, but you know what? More power to him. I mean, you can't fault him. I mean, he's made out, you know, once in a lifetime opportunity that he thinks in his mind. You know, the one thing about Lane, you can't deny you hit a triple, but you started on third base.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. But he's made the, you know, in some ways made the most of it. You become a head coach of the Oakland Raiders, an NFL team at 31 years old with no head coaching experience. You were a tight end coach at USC. That never happens. Then you go from there to Tennessee. Outside distractions lead you to 7-6.
Yep.
Right? You leave them in like a ghost in the night for USC. rightfully so. He used to be there. Won a national championship as a tight end.
Could have handled it better, but still.
This
is the theme with him.
Okay. Raiders was messy. Now, Al Davis, in the way he did it, Lane, actually is probably more on Al Davis versus Lane.
True, but I mean, he's just, it's just an ingredient that.
But he's at a tough time
with the dismount, no matter who's.
Tennessee was messy.
Yeah.
It was disrespectful. And then he went to USC, which you can understand.
Yeah, alma mater. Well, not alma, you used to be there.
Yeah, used to be there. And then they fire you on the tarmac.
Yep.
Now, some transgressions, and then obviously not living up to expectations. And then you go down to Bama and get back right, like head coach rehab, win a couple national championships, do well. You get the Florida Atlantic job, and Nick Saban fires you a week before the national championship game. Why? Because you're trying to recruit some of the players on the team. You got to go.
just a bold move by Kiffin to be recruiting Saban's players.
And then you get to Florida Atlantic. It seems like you're happy, right? You kind of make that the place, and he does really well. And then Ole Miss, when you wanted to get back into the SEC, big-time football, Ole Miss is the only school that took a chance on you. Rightfully so. And they set it up to where you could rehab yourself image-wise, coaching-wise, and then off the field-wise. They had him, I mean, anything that he asked for, he got it. And then some, in a timely fashion. That's where the anger comes from. The anger comes from Mississippi, knowing that they knew that he had been wanting that LSU job when old boy Brian Kelly got fired.
It's a little bit of...
They had knew 3 weeks ago that he had already jumped the broom and was going to LSU. They knew it. That's why they're mad. And sure, you leave one school that's willing to give you the same amount of money. They feel like NIL is the same. So they're ready to compete. You got more assistance. I know for a fact that he hired three former Rebel players to be analysts because he wanted to really, you know, uptick to just the nuances of playing the game. He did all that. And then I think it got to the point like, dang, you guys gave me everything, but I'm still leaving. And you know what? Coaches leave, come and go all the time. Players come and go all the time.
That's tough for Ole Miss, though.
He's elevated them to a top 10 job, national prominence. It's kind of like what James Franklin did with Penn State. Whoever they get to come in next, whether Pete stays on full time and whether whoever goes to Penn State, it's going to be interesting to see how well or how they go about trying to fill those shoes from a national brand standpoint, and more importantly, on the field standpoint, because Lane Kiffin for sure made Oxford, a town of 30,000 people, a place to be for people that normally wouldn't be there.
Mm-hmm.
And he was able to do it his way. And obviously, you know, LSU is probably a bigger and bigger brand and it has more cachet job, but also comes with some unique expectations and pressure as well right away. Which you don't have. I think you could probably, there's a difference. You could probably go 7-5 back-to-back years in Ole Miss and not have to worry about your job. You go 7-5 no matter what your contract is, as we've seen at LSU, maybe just 1 year, and say they just don't like your quirky personality, you gone.
Mm-hmm.
And you might not be able to come back from it. So that's what risk he's willing to take, and, you know, wish him all the luck. And, you know, Lane hadn't changed since he'd been a kid. And so
doesn't look like it.
Oh, I know it. I grew up with him. I seen him. We were ball boys together.
Yeah, ball boy. Yeah.
Oh, hey, we'd be supposed to go in there and clean up. Lane would be nowhere to be found. And then right at the end, he'd do a little something, you know.
Yep.
Here's a funny story about Lane, man. This is funny. There was a safety, and Lane, I think, might have been up there a year before me. You know, my dad was like, "Look, man, you're getting in too much trouble. We're gonna get you." And it's hard work. Now, when you're a ball boy, the payoffs are game days just because you're just working the games. You get to see great players. You know, you're young and impressionable and stuff. But training camp ain't no joke, man. I mean, it's 5 a.m., 4:30 wake-up calls because you're up there with the equipment guys. So that's why I have a lot of respect for Jay Terry. And you ain't going to bed 10, 12 o'clock at night. And you get to go to, you know, eat a training table or whatever. But it's hard work and it's long days and hot. So sometimes, you know, the players, when they knew they were going to get a day off, that, you know, if they needed something done with their car, you could make extra money. You know, we'd go vacuum out their car, we'd go, you know, fill it up with gas. And so there was this guy, this safety named Felix Wright. He used to play for the Cleveland Browns, but he was playing with the Vikings. and he had this Mercedes. He had this Mercedes, man. And Lane was way more comfortable to do it, maybe because Monty was like a D coordinator or something. Mm-hmm. You ain't gonna get too mad at the dude that's, you know, the coordinator's son. I was just there. And he had this Mercedes. And I forget it was black and had like tan. It was pretty sweet. He's like wanted us to go fill up the car. So Lane's driving, you know. He's rolling. We come out of the parking lot. He guns that bad boy out of there, right? And
Players around? Like, could they see him drive off?
No, they were in meetings.
Okay.
So we'd do it, and so they were going home. That they once they got out of meetings, they were hitting the highway.
So he thinks he's got like a nice little ticket to have some fun.
Yeah. Well, I thought we were just going to fill up a gas and
so you're riding shotgun.
Oh yeah. And we were in Mankato State, now it's called Minnesota State. We were just riding up down the strip or whatever, or thought we were gonna ride up down the strip, think that we're cool, right? Mm-hmm. Couple like 15-year-olds in a Benz, and you know, yeah, this is ours. Yeah, right. And so Lane puts in, like, it must have been like a CD or cassette tape. He cranks that bad boy. He took the bass and the treble and put it to the max. And I don't know what it was, but it was thumping. Boom, boom, boom. Mm-hmm. Next thing you know, the speakers went out. Like, blew. He
blew out the speakers.
And, you know.
How long were you driving for before he blew them out?
Oh, we couldn't have been in no more 15, 20 minutes. We did what you need to do. We got it washed and did everything. We bumping. And we just turned that, you know, I wasn't driving. So I was I was in the good. And then it's right when they broke training camp. And Lane, I think, stayed around, did ball boy for the season. I was obviously playing basketball and stuff. But, man, when you talk about being puckered up tight, Lane there, we never said anything about it. I know Felix Wright. I bet you when he went home, he tried to bump KMOJ.
You guys got away scot-free with that?
I was gone.
Lane Kiffin did, at least.
Yeah. I'm sure he probably would have said I did it, but it was gone. Yeah. Yeah. And then me and Lane played against each other all through high school. He was good. He was a good basketball player. He was decent. He was a good athlete, good quarterback. Went to Fresno State.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll say this, though. You know, Lane, you know, I don't have a problem with Lane or whatever. He ain't changed. But I will say this. His dad is one of the main reasons why I ended up at Nebraska. Because, you know, obviously he coached here.
Mm-hmm.
Started the black shirts, and he was up there coaching, obviously, or with the Vikings, and we played them on their home. That was our big rivals, his school, high school, and my high school. And you know, I obviously did all right against them, and Coach Osborne was up in there watching them. And then obviously, I did my thing, and then Monty, you know, called and said, "Yeah, he's pretty good. You guys should offer him a scholarship." At that same time, you got to think Minnesota hadn't offered me; it wasn't going to offer me at that point. So, you know what I mean? So, I had, like, Northwestern, you know, Missouri or Missouri at that time, Kansas, you know, like, kind of, like, mid.
Why didn't Minnesota offer you? Were they powerhouse at that point?
Minnesota ain't never been.
That's what I'm wondering.
They weren't recruiting, like, local kids that much. And obviously, in back then, Minnesota wasn't a hotbed for football players. And I'd went to one of their camps. I'd never went to a football camp. I got a letter. They asked me to come, and I just played in AAU Nationals with my basketball team. And it was, I don't say we got back. Then I got right off the plane, and I wouldn't even know what to expect. I hadn't been lifting. I've been hooping all summer, not thinking anything. You know, I was just thinking, like, all right, we're going to just go do some drills 7-on-7. I'm going to do my thing. And mm-hmm. Already was kind of getting offers or whatever, you know, like those levels. And I was like, Minnesota's right on that level. Why wouldn't they? And you know, I got off the plane and didn't even stretch or anything. I don't even know if I even registered. My dad just dropped me off, said I'll be back in an hour. You know what I'm saying? And they had me run a 40, like no warm up, no nothing. And I think I might have ran like a 4.7. You know what I'm saying? Straight off a 3-hour flight from Phoenix. You know what I mean? No, you know, I didn't think anything of it. But then I went out there and did the drills, and I was just doing cats. And then after that, they were like, "Oh man, you can't play in Minnesota." That I think that's what it was, but I was like I might have been a sophomore, I think, or junior. I think I was a sophomore going into my junior year or something. You know, it was real young. You know what I mean? And then so I started to get more offers. I was getting a lot of basketball offers, no big deal. And then they hadn't offered. And then you know that game, you know, was on like local TV. You know, I think you know I had a couple picks and you know picked Lane off or whatever and. You know, 120 some yards and knocked the dude out that got the player of the year in Minnesota, called Dave Wiley. He was my boy too.
You do him like that?
Oh man, hey, it was, yeah, yeah. I ain't gonna lie to you. Yeah, you come across the middle back then. I'm knocking your head off. That was headhunting. You talk about launching. That was targeting. I was targeting. I was horizontal. Go to sleep twice. And really, it was because when I went into we warmed up, and our quarterback got hurt, so I actually got to play both ways. And I saw, like, Nick Saban was there, Michigan State at the time. Coach Osborne was there. Coach Gary Barnett was there from Northwestern. Because there was a lot of Division I guys out there. Coach Grant was my coach. And I said, hey, man, you know, they're here to watch me. He's like, nah. He's like, they're here to watch them. He's like, but if you want to get noticed, tonight's the night. I was like, oh, okay. Then that's the rest is history.
It's not like Farley when you talk like that.
The rest is history. And Monty did call for me though. So I appreciate that. You know, so you know, I'm in, you know, but you know, big news, obviously Lane going to LSU.
7-year deal.
And then everybody else decided to hire a coach after that.
Yeah.
Auburn hired Golish. Mm-hmm. I like him. He got some swag to him.
He was the big fish, Kiffin. And once he landed, it was like,
then everybody's all right. Like, all right, well, we're
gonna need to hurry this up.
Golish, I watched his, like, when he first met with the team. They played at the same time as Auburn, in Alabama. And he got the call or agreed to the deal at 1 o'clock in the morning, right? So you gotta think he's probably recruiting players after his last game. And he showed up there at 7 o'clock in the morning, so things go by quick. And so he's able to go, you know, coach at Auburn. You know, that's a great opportunity for him. And then Summerall went to Florida.
Yep, Fitzgerald to Michigan State.
Fitzgerald to Michigan State. How do you think he'll do?
I like it. I think Fitzgerald's a great coach.
I do too.
I think he'll get Michigan State back to respectable. I don't know what the ceiling is, but a hell of a lot better than what it has been these past few seasons.
It'll be interesting to see with him. He's a great coach. Was a really good player. He's actually why I even considered potentially going to Northwestern until I saw the academic requirements.
For him to put that program like under his watch, right, with those requirements.
Right.
And I think they might have lessened up a little bit.
Now they are.
Now, yeah. But back then it was.
And they're tough. Yeah. So the one thing, Michigan State's going to be tough. So Michigan's in for a battle. I'm sure he can recruit well. I'm sure he's going to put together a good staff. It'll be interesting to see how much, just like Brett Bielema, how much he's changed his offensive philosophy. Because as he's kind of been in timeout, he's been going around to different places and picking up different ideas. So the two things that I'm going to wait to see what he does. That offensively, what the identity is going to be, with better athletes, right, than normally that he had at Northwestern. And then also how he navigates this new NIL landscape, because he never had to deal with it to this magnitude.
But he's at a school that'll have some resources for him, at least.
He's at a school.
If he was still at Northwestern, that's a lot tougher.
He's at a school that got money. He's at a school statewide that has a pretty good recruiting base, like 500-mile radius, 300-mile radius or whatever. So it'd be interesting to see how fast he gets some turnaround, because as quick as they fired Jonathan Smith, I mean, he's only been there 2 years.
Yeah, it was a super short run. That was year two.
Right. It's like they fired him at 11 a.m. Fitzgerald was hired at 12. So they had to push their chips all in. So it's going to be interesting how much holdover he has. That young freshman quarterback is good. The one that we played.
Aiden Giles?
No, the other one, the freshman.
Oh, the
It's Mazzaloni something like that. He was the Illinois player of the year. He led them to the last they played really well against Iowa, played really well against Maryland. Their offensive line got better.
He played well versus us.
He played well against us. Thank you for Jonathan Smith by not playing him anymore. And then their defense started to come on late in the year. So they had what, 5 wins?
Five wins.
So that starting base is pretty good for a coach like him. It'll be interesting to see what he does.
But you got to do it at quarterback.
Yeah.
You got
Marsh at receiver. I don't know if he's a senior or not. They got some decent little athletes.
Who's going to take off faster? James Franklin over there in Virginia? Yeah. Or LSU and Kiffin?
So it's between Kiffin, Franklin,
and Gerald. Michigan State. And then you can throw in Auburn.
Yeah, Golish. He's not a name yet. I'll take Golish out of just because of.
I don't know enough about what that's going to look like.
Yeah. He'll have athletes, though. I would say opportunity and conference, I would say James Franklin.
I think so. His recruiting circle hasn't changed much either.
No, he's got he's got all the kids from Penn State coming. I think the ACC is right for the pickings, essentially Miami, and we'll see what happens with Clemson.
So, surprised Sweeney made it through.
Dabo?
Yeah. I would not have fired him. I'm glad they didn't, but the way the carousel was rolling there, I thought he was going to be the next one.
But here's the thing. As much as we talked about Lane being able to survive a down year or years after this year, is no different. Dabo, two-time national champion in Clemson, built Clemson to where it's at right now on a whim, on a humbug. He's got at least another, if he has another back now, another year like this year, then he's probably maybe on the hot seat. But I don't ever see him getting fired based on a record anytime.
No, it'd have to be like Gundy. It's where you just get to the point where it's like, listen, man, you've been here
too long.
Forever. Yeah,
you're about to go 1-11. Let's just save you the.
We'll do a retirement tour. Right. No, you won't.
Yeah. Coach, but here's the thing. I'll ask you this. Places like Clemson, I'll even throw Ole Miss in there after they got to. And I'll throw Penn State in there. Who do they hire and how do they recover? I mean, unless Penn State has somebody that they're going to nab.
They're the one that makes me nervous. Right. If I was a Penn State fan, I'd be sweating. Because you were the first one to really be out of the big names to throw your hat in the ring.
You were the first.
There's nobody. They were the first one. There's another big school because LSU and all those schools came out. So, you're the first one. You probably had the jump. And then I don't know if they were eyeballing Kiffin, trying to get ahead of it. And if they're waiting for him. I don't know. I don't know if they have on their target list because you got to replace the guy in James Franklin, who a little bit like the Nebraska era with Bo Pelini, but you know, Penn State, you could argue, was even better than that. They never have like massive letdowns. They lose to Ohio State, but it's close.
Yeah.
I mean, they're going to have to hit a home run. They're not going to take a nobody like Indiana did with Kurt Cignetti. Like, you're going to have to get a name. Otherwise, I think that fan base will freak out.
Right. And all the names are gone. Only thing you can think of is if they're going to go after, we got an unknown texter here, 2366. Penn State is going after the BYU coach.
Okay. Was that enough?
It's not moving the needle.
No.
He's a good coach, but it's not moving the needle. I'm sure they tried to, you'd heard that they possibly were trying to, they tried everything. They tried Marcus Freeman, Cignetti, Kalen DeBoer. That's not going to happen.
That's what I'm saying. I feel like they fired Franklin and they thought they had this list of candidates and everyone said, no, I'm all
right. Right.
And now they're sitting there. And
now you're sitting
there. Maybe they do go with BYU.
Now you're stuck on stupid.
Yeah.
Now you really think, I mean,
expectations are so high there. It's also a spot that if you're a coach, like, boy,
Penn State, man. I mean,
the bar is going to be so high in year one. It's going to be,
my Penn State brothers, man, I feel sorry for you. There's nothing against BYU's coach. He's a good coach.
For sure.
I think taking BYU to where he's taken them the last few years, that's a heck of a coaching job because recruiting there and obviously with the stipulations on campus and all that, it's probably hard to get really good players, but he's able to do it.
Yeah, they had to let go of their quarterback.
Yeah, you got tough teams. Jim McMahon and all that, ran rampant up there. But
you're also going to get there. The bar is probably going to be like at the least 7 wins, maybe. But a lot of those players are going to be following Franklin. So it's not like you're going to walk in there with a loaded room of talent. Yeah, like they're
in the NFL talent now.
Yeah.
Here's another one. Tony from Lincoln says, Dave Dipple says Lincoln Riley to Penn State.
I've been hearing Lincoln Riley.
Penn State?
I don't think Penn State's a good fit for him whatsoever, but I keep hearing his name. I don't know where, if he'll end up somewhere else, but I hear that name a lot. Who was it? Josh Pate keeps tweeting.
Yeah.
Like crazy that. Keep an eye on Lincoln Riley. Penn State seems like a bad fit.
I wonder if that dies down since LSU took Lane.
Lincoln Riley to...
It was the LSU, remember, originally. You remember his original one after Oklahoma? They asked him if he's going to LSU. He said no. But he was going to USC. You didn't ask me about USC. You asked me about LSU.
To Florida, maybe?
Florida already got their good coach. They got Summerall.
That's right.
And Chesney.
There is not. All these spots are filling. I don't know.
James Madison, Chesney's just signed his deal to go to UCLA. Yep. And let me ask you this before we go to break. If you're Lincoln Riley, would you leave USC to go to Penn State?
No.
Me neither.
That does not fit me whatsoever.
Yeah. Why would you?
And USC's still going to back him up enough. I don't think USC is to the point.
It's a private school. You can make a big bank out there, even though the taxes are different. But I wouldn't take that job.
My fear would risk how people perceive me as a coach might go downhill if I go to Penn State.
And then
that's going to be a tough room to build.
Brian Hartline and all those guys, then the offensive coordinator, I think from Oregon, they're connected with Kentucky. But Brian Hartline was that. But then essentially you're just hiring a coordinator after you fired James Franklin. Something might be up. We're gonna take a quick break. Come back, Jay Foreman, Harrison. We'll be right back.
Back to Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Second segment, 5 o'clock hour. Jay Foreman, Harrison, the better of the two. My man Nick. A lot going on. People are staying here on the text line. We'll just stay the text for the rest of the show. Paul Chris. Bringing him out, he'd be somebody's coordinator. You know what Paul Chris reminds me of?
Who?
He looks like a guy in his garage that has a wood shop. He looks like, man, if you were talking to him, he's like, man, my favorite chair in the kitchen that I, you know, it just broke. He's like, oh, I got this. What kind of chair is it? And he'll take you to like Home Depot or somewhere or Menards, and he'll make you a chair by Christmas.
For sure. Yeah. He cares about the patterns on his lawn when he's mowing.
Oh, yeah.
You don't mess that up.
He's definitely.
He's going cross grid the one day and then lines the next.
He'd make it look like an MLB outfield.
Oh, yeah.
If you need to.
I don't know what role you'd want him in, though. Like, not Penn State head coach, obviously. I don't know what the text was referring to.
He could go somewhere and definitely be a coordinator.
I think a coordinator.
But. I think Wisconsin probably pulled the plug a little bit too quickly. I think the identity was there. He just had a good year. Maybe got a little stale. I know he didn't like to recruit. But sometimes being out of the game can really – you know, help you want to recruit. And I think recruiting is easier because now you just got to call and ask them what their price is.
Well, now you got general managers a lot too.
Money first, everything is else second. So couple texts here. Thomas and Lincoln says, do you think Penn State called Saban or Urban Meyer? I'm sure they called, but obviously they were told no.
Yeah, or straight to voicemail. I don't think either of those guys are interested right now.
They gave him the red button.
Yeah.
There was a rumor that that Urban Meyer went and talked to him. But he wasn't very sharp on NIL. But then neither is BYU, right? Because they don't have, like, I mean, no, actually, they got a lot of money up there because they were getting that basketball player, but that was for football. Plus, everybody is on the revenue sharing deal, so NIL isn't that big a deal unless you got to pay them underneath the table. That's what I like, too.
That still happens.
DM says Manny Diaz to Penn State. Doubtful.
No.
But he had a good run there as a coordinator. Coordinator.
Yeah, I don't think so.
At Duke, yeah.
With the Penn State thing, like, you have to hit such a home run. Like, you're going to end up getting a guy who doesn't look like, in my opinion, that's fit to do the job, but I think they're just going to end up having to hire someone.
They know they need a coach.
Yeah, they know.
They know that is for sure. Mm-hmm. And their board of regents, I mean, they know they need a coach. Now, they probably struck out the side 4 or 5 times or got struck out. And they need a slap hitter right now.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing against the BYU coach. I think he'll do well anywhere he goes. I think he's a really good coach. His teams are physical. They're generally tough. I just think Penn State being the first blue blood to, I guess, impulsively or just rationally in their mind make that call to fire James Franklin, which probably they wanted to fire him the year before. And you would think they had somebody already in their back pocket and they had a option in the front pocket. Looks like they got a lot of lint in their pockets and now they're trying to scramble now, which, you know, however it goes over, I think it might not be at first a sexy hire, but if he starts to win, then it'll be all good. You know what I mean, Harrison?
Yeah, apologies to everybody watching the stream. Computer just crashed, so.
Uh-oh.
That's quick. We'll put the graphic up. They can still hear us and everything. But if that's what you're wondering, as we work on that, but I feel like they might realistically end up with the interim head coach just to buy time if they're just getting all these.
Well, they might be able to do that for like a...
Because the fans will be in.
What are you going to do with
that? The fans love the interim.
The interim coach, what are you going to do? Say, hey, you do it for 1 year?
Unless you prove it and they hire him again. But if they don't like all their options...
He's a good enough coach, he can go get on somebody else's staff. He's going to want some security. So that's at least 2 or 3 year deal. So essentially, you're just throwing money into the wind. You got to hire a coach, and you got to deal with it, and you got to make that coach the best coach. No, if he's your fourth or fifth choice, you got to make that your best choice. You got to support them, and then you got to put, you know, guardrails around them to help them, you know, fast track his success. You can't at Penn's. I feel at a place like Penn State, I like the coach, the interim coach. If you're going to do it, commit to him. If you're not, don't commit to him for a year, knowing you're going to fire him after a year, and the new guy might not hold him over because now he was actually the head coach at that point. You might put some stuff in there that you got to keep him on staff and so forth and so on, but you pick a coach, you got to make him the best coach. You got to support him. You got to do what you need to do.
Yeah, well, I think it's some truth because the Sharon Moore, he never felt like Michigan was fully backing him up.
Do you think they're still backing him up?
No. I think they are. I think they're
I think they're dealing
with hesitant.
I mean, he's a quirky dude, and they got the brakes beat off of him.
Yeah.
They got the – and let me ask you this. What do you think about Michigan standing out there trying to guard their field? And Ohio State wasn't even paying no attention. Then do you see what they did going to the locker room? They were kind of like guarding – like.
So they were guarding the M.
Yeah.
It was not a great look for Michigan because Ohio State was just sitting there in front of their fans like, you guys lost. Like, I don't care. Yeah. It's like, to me, it was a bad look for Michigan. Yeah. Like, you just got embarrassed.
Right. Well, the thing I think that made it look worse is that the two coaches talked about it. And Ryan Day is like, my team isn't going to do it. So their team went and did it with, you know, class and humility. Michigan went into the locker room and then came back out. And then sat there while Ohio State was still talking, you know.
They were just hanging out, sitting with the fan base.
Sitting with the fan base. And then when they went into towards the locker room, Michigan kind of like did the same thing. Look, at some point in time, you just got your head beat in for 3 hours. All right. You need to get past that.
Yeah, the M's been beaten already.
Yeah, you've been beating it already. The tough guy stuff is over. You know, you got embarrassed, you got beat, and you got to deal with it. I think. You know, Sharon Moore, I think he's a good coach. I think it was odd, just this whole thing, you know, with him. I think at first he was the only one that would take the job. He needed the job.
Well, he was in the scandal with – it was a bizarre situation because it was a little weird for you to keep the guy who's in the middle of a scandal.
He was in the middle of a scandal.
Instead of just totally cleaning your hands from it. Like, all right, Harbaugh's gone, but let's – Sharon Moore, you're definitely implicated in this too.
Yeah, because they didn't know if they would lose games or anything like that. Then he's suspended for what? Two games.
Just two games, but he gets to pick kind of which games.
You got to pick the games. And so this next year will show you, you know, where he's at.
Yeah, because that was a lot of distraction early on.
Right. Now he actually is out of the
– He's good.
He's out of jail. He's able to do his thing. Michigan will be back. But, man, Penn State. They're the only team without a coach right now.
They deserve it, though. Like, I'm in the camp. Like, in no world should they have fired Franklin. Especially with the college football playoffs being what they are. You have one off year with Franklin. And to be fair, like, I understand why it's upsetting. But every other year, you're making it to the playoffs over and over and over. You got the playoffs for 1 year. You made it next year.
You made it to the Big Ten Championship last year.
You have a rough one, so you don't make it, and then done.
Yeah, and he's brought you, at that time, you got to think, after Bill O'Brien left to go to the Texans, he brought you to national prominence.
Yeah.
National prominence.
When you were a cancer. When he first got there, yeah. nobody wanted to go to Penn State.
Yeah, nobody wanted to coach there. Nobody wanted to go there. He's putting guys in the NFL left and right. We're talking about some dudes, obviously Saquon and so forth and so on. I think it was, you know, the funny thing is they were mad that he couldn't beat top 10 teams.
Mm-hmm.
So that means you're a top 10 team.
Yeah.
But you could, essentially, they were mad he didn't win a national championship. So just on assumption base, whoever they're hiring right now, most likely has never won a national championship. So the guy that you're firing hasn't, the guy that you fired and the guy that you hired are still the same. Because if you hire the BYU coach, he's probably had some ranked wins, but he's in the Big 12,
mm-hmm.
right? And he was in where were they in before? Mountain West?
Yeah, Mountain West, I believe.
Yeah. Okay, you beat, they're still not Big 10.
Brian Kelly to Penn State from the text line.
That would be a G move by Brian Kelly, though. I don't know, man.
It might be the best possible option for Penn State, though, that's left, which is because I'm not a big.
Do you think Brian Kelly fits in anywhere? Anywhere.
No, he does get wins, though, but he drives a lot of people the wrong way. Apparently, Penn State was tired of the nice guys, so maybe they do.
I don't know, man. I think Brian Kelly, if he knows what he probably didn't do well at LSU and kind of, okay, I can't do that, right? Obviously, he's not going to try to change his accent to, because he's up there. That's where he's from, up there. So he doesn't have to really try to change who he is. He probably fits Penn State maybe a little bit more than the BYU coach, right? But if he really changes some of the things that he's like, oh, you know what? That was probably the wrong move at LSU.
But you think he's doing that?
I said if.
Okay.
Because one of the things when you're talking about like Ryan Clark, what's the big offensive tackle that for LSU?
Campbell?
No. The one that just retired. Was it what
I was thinking of one that got drafted.
He does TV now. Played for the Rams and played for the Bengals forever. Him, Booger McFarland, all these guys, Jacob Hester. They said that they had reached out to Brian Kelly to help with recruiting players, like when they were there, weren't really allowed to go to practice, and really were shunned. You can't do that at LSU. First of all, those guys live there. You can't do that at LSU. You certainly cannot do that at Penn State. So if he rectifies that, he's actually two steps ahead of where he was when he left. Now, all the other stuff and being hard to work with and all that, I think Brian Kelly's at his best when he has two really good coordinators. Yes, you know, when Notre Dame was really rolling, he had Marcus Freeman and he had Tommy Reese. Mm-hmm. And then he was a CEO, and then obviously he didn't have a big NIL when that's when they were churning out offense and defense alignment and all that. You can get back to that at Penn State. Look, everywhere he's been at, he's won. So it does work.
It does work. He gets like 9 wins, you know, pretty consistently. Yeah. When he left Notre Dame, though, I can't remember what the exact quote was, but the resources, he made a comment.
Well, the ability to
standards at Notre Dame?
Academic standards, yeah. And be able to recruit, you know, big
time. So there's some truth to that, right, though. So,
yeah, but then you went to LSU, lost 3 games by a total of, 11 points?
Yeah.
And all of them were ranked teams. Lost to Texas A&M. That was a one.
Yep.
And now that up until last week, they were like, oh, that's the best team in the nation, right?
It might honestly be the best move for Penn State. Right. You know, if you're the AD, you're going to have a long sit down, see where he's at, but.
That would be a long talk between.
You're not going to get hype when he's not going.
Josh?
Yeah.
Did you just see what Vanderbilt did to them?
But I don't think is going to be going.
No. He's lucky to be right where he's at.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'd have to get Brian Kelly. It'd give you some respect. No disrespect to BYU coach. Brian Kelly or bust.
Well, BYU, he's good, but I think there's some unknown factors.
Brian Kelly gives you. Now, this is whether Brian Kelly can put together a staff or not.
And also the recruiting right away, getting the mix. Because, again, I think a lot of those players are gone.
Yeah. Anyway, we'll take a quick break, come back, put a bow on this Monday. Post John Butler firing Jay Foreman Harrison. We'll be right back.
Back to old school with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
What up? We're back, Jay Foreman. One last segment, quick segment here. 5 o'clock hour goes by quick, man. Not going on a Huskerland, never ending story. A couple nuggets coming out of Nebraska is two positive things. Troy Vincent, potentially, I don't know. This is just reported by one of the online guys that he's moving on to another job. He's a really good asset off the field role. Really good dude, solid dude. So we wish him the best if that's true. But what is true is also Harrison, Deshaun Singleton got a Senior Bowl invite. But good on him.
He's rightfully big, so. He's been awesome.
Big, good representation, big safety. Does it for the right reasons. Very humble kid. We saw him down at the Big Ten Media Day, so you wish him all the best when he gets down there, and he'll represent Nebraska like he always does. So good on him. You know, you go down there and show well. Could really pay off, you know, later on, go to the combine. Generally, guys that go there will go to the combine. Go down there, play well. He'll interview well because he's a really good kid, really smart, tough kid. Little bit of position flexibility. So, as long, he goes down there and represents, you wish him the best.
Yeah, who was wide receiver last year? I'm blanking. He did good in the Senior Bowl. He showed out and it really helped his stock out.
Was it
one of the wide receivers? We didn't get a whole lot of action during the season.
Yeah, he came from Texas. Mm-hmm. Man, what's his name? Is it Isaiah Nair?
Nair, yep.
Yeah. And he ended up being drafted by San Fran, and then he went to the combine. And I mean, he's a big old kid, ran fast. And so hopefully Deshaun does the same and not anybody else that does stuff after that. You want to hear my Senior Bowl story?
Yeah, we can hear it.
Real quick. This is why
I can see you ready to go. You're bundled up. Look like a marshmallow on the camera.
It's cold in here. Hey, man. You know, hey, man. It's blowing
shit out. I thought you were from Minnesota.
I am. But that doesn't mean I don't get cold. That's the funny. Forget the Senior Bowl story. That's the funny thing. People think, like, just because you're from Minnesota, that you have a different blood type or you just don't get cold. We just know how to deal with it. In the structure up in Minneapolis, you don't have to go outside that much. Because I'm not ice fishing. And I'm not doing, like, any of those, like, cross-country skiing and none of that. So, no, I know how to deal with it. But I wanted to go to the Senior Bowl real bad. And it came down between me and this dude named Matt Hughes, linebacker from Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
They took him because he was 6'4". So I wasn't tall enough. So I always kept a track of Matt Hughes. It's another reason to hate Iowa, man. Anyways, appreciate you guys listening. Text line, you guys were off the chain. Probably going to be some more news coming out here.
Probably forward. Tonight, before I'm even done. Cheryl, I'll have something else come through.
And so we'll be able to talk about it later in the week. Jay Foreman, Harrison, my man Nick, the better of the two. We'll holler at you next, or holler at you on Wednesday.
There's nothing like being in the stands cheering on your favorite team. Game Time is your hack to unlocking amazing tickets in just a few taps. Plus, their Game Time guarantee means you can trust you'll get 100% authentic tickets at the best price. Fees are always included, so what you see is what you pay. Get the best deals on sports tickets. Download the Game Time app and create an account to start searching for tickets to upcoming games and events. Swipe, tap, ticket, go. Game Time.